Culture.
Backstory. Is Disclaimer a must-watch or a dud? A glitzy new TV thriller is a case study in good-bad art.
Read the early reviews of Disclaimer and you may be confused. Write-ups of the 7-part thriller, which debuts on Apple TV Plus on October the 11th, lurch between 2 stars and 5. Is the lavish series, directed by Alfonso Cuarón and starring Cate Blanchett, a must-watch or dud? Whom should you trust, the boosters or carpers? The answer is both. The show is an example of what might be called good-bad art and a lesson in evaluating it. Miss Blanchett is Catherine Ravenscroft, a British documentary maker. She and her husband, Robert, played by Sacha Baron Cohen, have a sumptuous pad in London and a troubled adult son. The title alludes to a note in a novel that arrives in the post. In this case, any resemblance to real people is not, in fact, a coincidence. The people in question are Catherine herself and a young man, Jonathan, played by Louis Partridge, whom she met long ago on the Italian coast. Jonathan drowned, but how? The Romain Aclay is part of a spiralling vendetta by his father, Stephen, played by Kevin Kline, which also relies on intimate photos taken in Italy and a social media account that resurrects the dead. In a two-way pursuit, Catherine must track Stephen down as he methodically destroys her. To say a work of art is flawed or uneven is tautologous. None is perfect, not even Hamlet or Some Like It Hot. But the flaws in Disclaimer are not the glitches inevitable in all mortal endeavours. They are glaring. The plot crumbles under scrutiny. Characters know things they couldn't and behave inexplicably. You might expect some synergy between Catherine's job, unearthing the truth, and her urgent personal mission. Ditto. Nope. You are so cancelled, Catherine, yells a colleague in one of many clunky lines. Then there is the voiceover, meant to relay inner thoughts. It sounds distractingly like Alexa. The graphic sex scenes seem gratuitous as they unfold. They seem more so after a twist drastically recasts the story's gender politics. That twist feels like a hustle, less a coup de théâtre than an adult version of And Then They Woke Up. Mr. Cuarón, who adapted the script from René Knight's novel, has won 5 Oscars, including a clutch for Roma. At the Venice Film Festival, where Disclaimer had a warmly received premiere, he said he thought of it not as television, but as 7 films. In an age of prestige TV, this is as grand as it gets. On some measures, it is a letdown. On others, it is very good. Not in a so-bad-it's-good sort of way, nor merely good enough to be diverting, but hauntingly excellent. The acting, like the dialogue, is mixed, but Miss Blanchett shines, and as Jonathan's bereaved mother, Leslie Manville, is heartbreaking. In a flashback, she wades into the fatal sea like a figure in ancient myth. Sequences and tableau live up to the show's pedigree. As the police inform Jonathan's parents of his death, the living room telly stays on, a relic of normality. Visiting his own son, played by Cody Smith McPhee, in his squalid digs, Robert Ravenscroft focuses, as a father might, on a hole in his sock. Foxes, cats, and a cockroach have memorable cameos. Above all, Disclaimer reaches boldly for big themes, such as grief, erotic jealousy, marriage and its secrets, what parents do to children, and vice versa. It dramatizes the fragility of even the cushiest lives and asks whether, in revisiting old traumas, you salve the wound or prod it. In the end, this tricksy narrative makes viewers ponder the stories people tell about the past and each other. Some characters deludedly believe the best of loved ones, others too readily think the worst, particularly of women. For all the differences in genre, era, and setting, the artist whom this melange of pulp and profundity most recalls is Dostoevsky. His good-bad yarns can seem histrionic and unkempt, but they offer immortal moments of drama and stare unblinkingly into the darkest recesses of the heart. Disclaimer has a seam of Dostoevsky's reckless honesty and shares his interest in the calibration of guilt. If, for powerful reasons, you wish a dreadful thing to happen, how guilty are you when it does? All of which raises another set of questions about art rather than morals. Which is a better measure of an artwork, its quality on average or its peaks? How should ambition be weighed against execution, jolting insight against missteps, the good against the bad? In Backstory's book, Good Bad Art That Lingers in the Memory is worth more than the blandly palatable kind, read or watched serenely and instantly forgotten.